ever be. He always was. He was a father. He is a father. He will forever be a father. Okay? So, again, we're talking about Jesus, eternal father. So, let's go to point number one. So, Jesus, he's a father who protects. He's a father who protects. You know, we look at fatherhood in our world. And oftentimes, you know, we are in situations that everyone doesn't have a father who is going to, who is protecting them. You have absentee fathers, you have, you know, people who have never known their father, or they have a father who is not really living up to the standard of what we think fatherhood should be. But the job of a father, the role of a father that God has defined, is one who protects. And why is that the role that he defined as a father? Because that is what he does. That he as father protects us. He as father guides us and covers us. That there is a covering that comes with having a father. And I've had so many friends who have looked at my relationship with my dad. And they, when they first meet him, they absolutely fall in love with him. And usually the conversation after the fact is, Char, you are so lucky. Like, you don't understand how lucky you are to have a father like the one that you have. Because they can see the difference in how my father covers me versus how they've experienced their fathers covering them or not covering them because their fathers are not present. But when you have Jesus as father, you always have a covering. That it doesn't matter what your earthly father has done, that Jesus always provides a covering. He always provides protection. Okay? So let's go to the scripture. So this is 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." So I want you to hold that right there. So we've talked about this passage of scripture several times here. And one of the things that I think that is key is, for one, the very first line says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man." So that means that we as Christians are not going to experience anything different than anybody else experiences. If other people are getting sick, we can expect that we probably won't get sick. If other people are losing jobs, we shouldn't be surprised if that happens to us, because it's happening to other people. It doesn't mean that God has forsaken us. It doesn't mean that he has, you know, abandoned us. It is just something that happens within our world. It is a part of the human experience, okay? But it says God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So this means that God is not going to, it doesn't say he's not going to tempt you, but it does say that he won't tempt you beyond what you're capable of handling. But then it also says he'll also provide a way of escape. So that's God offering protection. That you got yourself in this situation. Sometimes it's just life happening. Sometimes it was your foolish decisions that you made that put you in this situation. But I'm giving you an exit ramp. That there's always a way out. There's always a way to say that I've gotten to this point, but God is speaking very clearly to me that this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. This is not where he is to have me, and so he's offering me another route. I've had plenty of times in my life, and I'm just going to talk about me, but I've had plenty of times in my life where I knew that I was doing something that I ain't had no business doing, that I was in situations that I had no business being in. And God, in his faithfulness, even in my sinful nature, even in my rejecting him, turning my back on him, walking away from him, was still offering me a way out. Still. Why? Because he's my father. And that regardless of what I may have been doing, I thought I turned my back on God. I walked away. I said I didn't want to be a part of this relationship anymore. But he said, "You can't walk away, because you're mine." that you that I can get mad at my natural father, go away, never speak to him for 10 years, but guess what? He's still my daddy. That me not being present doesn't make him less my father. That me not being in relationship with him, in communion with him, doesn't change my DNA. Because guess what? If something happened to me and they ran a DNA test, he would still come back as my daddy. And so God is, again, even greater than that. That we have Jesus's spiritual DNA. And once he's marked us, we're marked forever. Once he stamped us, we're stamped forever. That we have his fingerprints all over us. That man is the only thing that God placed his hand on. That he spoke everything else into existence. But man, he placed his hand on, which means that we have his fingerprints all over us. That we are identified with him. And so there is nothing that I can do. There's nothing that you can do to stop being identified by him. Now, we can depart. We can walk away. But that doesn't mean that he's still not our father. And so I think that if we would just learn to grasp that concept, to see God as father, that as a child, children naturally run to their parents. That when things are happening, whatever's going on, they naturally go. That is their instinct. Because they know that I done did something. I can't fix it. I need to go to the person who can. And so as a father, the protection that's provided is that security. It's that security in knowing that even if I messed up, I can still run to my daddy. That I can still go to him, that I can still lean on him, that I can still depend on him. And so this is the father that Jesus is to us. Okay? There's another scripture for this one. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 24 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely, without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass." Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. So what this passage of scripture really speaks to me is that God doesn't just send you to do it, he walks you through it. That he doesn't, that Jesus secured our eternity on the cross. That when he died on the cross, when he shed his blood, when he said, "It is finished," he said that I have done all that needs to be done to secure them. He didn't do it for himself. He didn't need to die for himself. He was already perfect. But he did it because he said, "I have people, I have children that I love, that I need to protect, that I need to secure, that they can't do it for themselves. They rely on me. And so I will do this thing, the greatest act of sacrifice, to make sure that they get what they need." Why? Because as our father, his job is to protect us. And not just to send us off to do something, but to follow through with it. That God doesn't just give us directions and be like, "I want you to go do X, Y, Z," and then just leave us all our way to go do it. No, he says, "This is what I have for us to do." Because he's going to see us all the way through it. He's going to walk with us through the entire thing. And so we have to understand that Jesus as Father has a particular role in our life. That his goal, his job, is to protect us. Sometimes protecting us from ourselves. I know that is the case for me often. You know, that he has to protect us from ourselves because sometimes we can be our biggest hindrance. That we are standing in our own way. But as our father, he is always there reminding us who we are. That this is who you are because this is who I say you are. Fathers provide identity. And so when I was growing up, my father always told me, you are a Spencer. So this is how you behave. This is who you are. This is what's possible for you. He gave me identity. But God gives me an even greater identity. God tells me that because you're mine, because this is what I called you to, because this is what I put on you, and because I have the capability to walk you through it. My dad gives me great advice, always has, always has. But my dad can't walk me through every situation. He can't be there every moment of every day. He can't see me through all of it because he doesn't know all of it. He knows what I tell him. But my Heavenly Father, he knows everything. There's not a single thing I can hide from him. And so it makes him so much more capable of being able to walk me through, to be able to see me through. And so him as a protector, him as a covering, is something that we have to remember we always have. Even if we're lacking an earthly father, we have a Heavenly Father who's always covering us and covers us much better than an earthly father ever could. And so we need to lean into that and trust and find peace and comfort in that protection. All right? Point number two. He's a father who provides. He's a father who provides. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like having a daddy who will do for you. Nothing like having a daddy who will do for you, who will make sure you have everything that you need. My father, most of the time when I was growing up, he worked sometimes 2-3 jobs, worked night shifts, everything like that. Why? To make sure me, my brother, my mom had what we needed. He always made sure we had everything we needed, and we had a whole lot of what we wanted. You know, and so in his way of doing that was ensuring that we had a level of security and knowing that he was a provider, that he was going to get it done. It wasn't nobody else going to get it done. He was going to get it done. He was going to make sure we had a roof over our head. We had food in our bellies, that we lived a life that we didn't struggle a lot when I was growing up. And it was a lot of the times about the sacrifices that my father made. But once again, is Jesus not greater? Because Jesus can provide me things that my daddy can't give me. He can give me things that my earthly father has no capability of providing. And it is in the nature of God to provide for us. All right? So let's look at the scripture. In Luke 22:35, it says, and he said to them, when I sent you out without money belt and bag and sandals, you did not lack anything, did you? And they said, no, nothing. So this is Jesus talking to his disciples when he sent them out to start ministering. And he told them, take no money belt, take no bag, take no coat, you know, don't take anything. Just go out and minister and you will be provided for. Okay, and so they went out in faith with nothing with them, trusting the man who said, don't take anything. And because of his word, Jesus wasn't there in each individual location making sure they had a place to stay, they had food to eat, that they had things going on, but he spoke a word and said, this is what I'm sending out. I promise you it'll be taken care of. And so oftentimes, I know for myself, I like tangible evidence of things. I'm a very practical person. So I like to see, I like to feel, I like to touch. I want to know, okay, you said it, but make it make sense to me on how it's going to get done. But if I trusted Jesus as a provider, that if I trusted him in knowing that he's not a resource, but he is the source, that he literally is unlimited, that he, if I really believe he had all power, if I really believe that he is who he says he is, then I would understand that as long as I have him, I have all that I need. That he will provide. That he won't allow me to be without what I need. Now, the key to that is understanding what I need. Because oftentimes we mix up wants and needs. That we want a lot of things. Things that make our life comfortable. Things that make us put a smile on our face. But those are not necessities. Jesus knows what I need. He knows what is imperative. That sometimes in order to save our souls, to save our lives, it means subtracting things. That we look at needs, and, oh, you're going to give. But sometimes it means taking things away. Sometimes it means removing. Because he knows what I need. And as a good father, as a father who is always looking to protect me, he's not going to give me anything that's going to do me harm. I, for the life of me, can't figure out why Jesus won't give me the numbers to the Powerball so I can win $250 million. I feel like that's the will of God for my life. And I feel like I need $250 million. Life would be so much easier. But obviously, there's a reason why I haven't won the Powerball yet. You get what I'm saying? Because God knows what I have need of. And that even when I appear to have nothing, I still have everything. Now, there was a time in my life, in 2015, when I rededicated my life back to Christ, I was in a rough financial situation. I literally was living paycheck to paycheck just barely, okay? I was literally like $100 away from being homeless, you know, in that I was struggling to make ends meet, that there just was never enough for me to be able to just meet my basic needs, pay my rent, pay my utilities, pay my car note. Like, these are things that I needed. I needed a car in order to be able to go to work. I need a roof because I like to live on the inside instead of on the outside. You know, these are things that I needed. And I was struggling to get it done. I rededicate my life back to Christ. And I had went years without giving. My parents had taught me how to give, how to tithe, all this other stuff when I was younger. And, you know, me thinking I was grown, I stepped away from it and stopped giving. And I remember the second Sunday that I came to church at New Dimensions, I had gotten paid. I was living in Alpharetta at the time, so I was making a 60-mile drive one way to come to church. I had no I had no intentions of being a member of New Dimensions Church because it was 60 miles away. I was going to go to a church that was 15 minutes down the street. God told me to come to New Dimensions Church. Even though this is my parents' church, like, God told me to do this. But I was like, all right, God, you know that's a 120-mile round trip just on a Sunday. And I got to get to work every day for 2 weeks after that. And in addition to that, like I said, I got all this other stuff, all this other financial stuff going on. And I come to church one Sunday, pastor finishes service. He says, you know, the spiel about the offering and everything like that. And in my heart, I told God, I said, I really want to give. He said, but I can't afford to give you 10%. He said, if I give 10%, something going to go unpaid. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, give me $40. I said, okay. And for 6 months, every Sunday I got paid, I just asked God, what do you want me to give you? And incrementally, he increased my giving. Nothing changed in my situation. Every bill was paid. I always had food. I never had to worry about where I was going to get gas money. I came to church every Sunday faithfully. And since May of 2015, I've never had to worry about where I was going to get gas. Why? Because Jesus is my protector. That he's my provider, that he made sure that I had everything that I needed. Even when I was in Jesus' math don't make sense. I don't understand how I can do more with 90% than I did with the 100, but he made it happen. That my willingness to give to him put me in his economy system. And so he provided for me in a way that I couldn't provide for myself. That with 100% of my income and access to it, I couldn't get it done. But he said, trust me and watch what I can do with it. And since then, it's only been up. And it's only by the grace of God. Why? Because he knows what I need. And he provides everything that I need. That there were times when there was a time where I literally overdrafted my bank account for the first time in like 5 years. And this is in 2015. And I went an entire like week and a half with absolutely no reason to pull out a debit card. I had food in my house, I had gas in my car, my bills were paid, nothing was late. Why? Because Jesus said he would provide for me. That he made a covenant when we give to say that if you trust me with this, if you and when especially when it comes to the tithe, he says, test me here and see if I don't show myself faithful. And he showed himself faithful in that area of my life and in so many others. That he knows who I need in my life. He knows the friends that need to go away, so he severs those relationships. That he knows the job that I need to be at, so he gives me the ability to sense, okay, it's time to move. It's time for us to do something different. That he understands me intricately, even better than I understand myself. So that means that shouldn't he know how to provide for me better than I can provide for myself? That I think I know what I need, but he absolutely knows what I need, which makes him a much better provider. All right? Point number three. He's a father who secures our future. He's a father who secures our future. So this point here really spoke out to me because, again, I'm always looking at my own relationship with my father versus the relationship I have with Jesus, you know. And Jesus uses my relationship with my dad oftentimes to point to me and say, hey, he did this. I could do it better, you know. So how about we do it this way, you know, type of situation. But, you know, as parents, oftentimes you try to plan for your child's future. You develop college funds, you know what I'm saying, you try to save money, you do life insurance policies, things like that. You get insurance policies on yourself to make sure that if something ever happened to you, that your child is secure, that they don't have to worry, that they don't have to, you know, be in a position where they're without what they need. But Jesus secures us in a very different way, but much more important, because he secures our eternity. He secures us for all of the, for beyond time, beyond this space here, beyond what we're doing right now. He gives us security, and he ensures that if we come into relationship with him, that is guaranteed. And nobody else can give us that guarantee but him. He's the only one who can say that I can guarantee that if you do this, you'll spend eternity with me. No one else can give us that type of guarantee. Most people can't even guarantee that you're going to still have a job tomorrow. You might, you should, but we just don't know. Because they're in this life here on this earth. We don't have a very many guarantees. The only guarantees we have is that we're going to be born and we're going to die. Those are two guarantees. That if you are born, if conception happens and you're born, you're eventually going to die. But Jesus is the one who is able to give us the guarantee and secure our eternity. Let's look at the scripture. So John 10:27-30 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So Jesus just gave us a guarantee that he said, my sheep know my voice, and they'll follow me. And I secure their eternity. I guarantee their eternity. And so what better security could you ask for? That I can, life insurance policies are great. It's cool. Somebody died, you get $250,000. That'll make life a little bit easier while you're here on earth. That's fine. But what happens after the fact? Because I can't take none of the money with me. I can't take none of the stuff I acquire with me. But to have a father who says that I love you so much that I don't just want to spend time with you while you're on the earth, but I want to love you for all of eternity, that I want to commune with you for all of eternity, and that I did what was necessary to secure it, that I gave up myself, I gave up my life, I sacrificed everything for you. Why? Because I love you. Because you're mine. And what parent wouldn't do anything for their child? What parent wouldn't give up their life for their child? What parent has been in a situation where their child has unfortunately passed before them and wouldn't give anything to trade places with them? And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He traded places with us. He died the death that we deserved. He bore the sin that was in us. And he nailed it to a cross to do what only he can do, because we couldn't do it ourselves. Because he knew, if I'm going to spend eternity with them, I have to secure it for them, because they can't do it themselves. They can't do it for themselves. And as their father, it's my responsibility to get it done. That I bear the weight. I do the thing that my child can't do for themselves. That's the responsibility that a parent takes on, that a father takes on. I think there's one more scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is trustworthy, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. That he is trustworthy, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. So he not only, you know, is in a place to give us protection from the evil one, but he strengthens us. That it is through him that we are given strength. And so, you know, I look at, this whole message. And those 3 points, I mean, you think of God as eternal Father. And the one thing, like I said, that the Holy Spirit always reminds me of is that when I rant and rave about my dad, when I talk about how wonderful he is, when I look to him for advice and counsel, oftentimes Jesus will tell me, am I not greater than he? Am I not better? Am I not more trustworthy? Can I not do more? And so it's oftentimes shaped my view and understanding that while my relationship with my earthly father is amazing, and I wouldn't trade him for anything in the world, I know that he is the gift that God gave me. That he knew, God knew, that I needed a father like him. That I was going to do some crazy stuff in this world, and I needed a daddy who was going to point me in the right direction, that was going to lead me in the way of the Lord. But I believe that God also knew that I was going to need an example for him to point to and say, I know you see him, but remember, I made him. I gave you him. I taught him how to be how he is. And so my encouragement for you today is, if you have an earthly father, if that father is good or not so great, if you know your father, if you don't know your father, to understand that fatherhood is not an easy job. That oftentimes fathers are underrated. Their positions are not valued. But I want you to remember that regardless of what your earthly father is doing, no matter how good he is or how bad you think he is, always remember that God is greater. That he is the ultimate father. That he is the father that we really need. That he is the one that we really need to rely and depend on. And that he is eternal. That he is always present. That he always was, he always is, and he always will be. That in every moment, he is with us. That he is protecting us, that he is guiding us, that he is securing us. And so I want you to leave today understanding who God is as Father. We often look to God and understand him as Savior. But to really know him as Father, that's intimacy, that's closeness, that he is Abba. And to know him as Abba is to know him intimately, because Abba is daddy. That I don't walk around calling my dad father. I say, hey, daddy. And I can walk in his room, I can sit on his bed, I can go sit on his lap and have a conversation with him. Tell him what's on my heart. Let him know what's concerning me. My dad can look at me and know, hey, what's going on with you? You all right? You okay? How much more does Jesus know? That he died on the cross so that we can come to his feet. That we can walk into his throne room. And that we can say, Daddy, I need you. Trusting and knowing that he's going to answer. He's going to respond. That he's going to be there. Because he is the perfect father. He is like no other. So, that's what I got for today. I hope that you got something out of it. I hope that, you know, that the Holy Spirit spoke to you in some way, shape, or form. That I just love this message. And, Pastor came up with all the notes. I just tried to deliver what I felt like God had put up my heart. But I know that even as I was up here speaking to you, I was speaking to myself to remind me that I have a Heavenly Father who cares for me, that I have a Heavenly Father who is concerned about me and would give anything for me. And so whether you're sitting in this room or you are watching a live stream, and you don't feel like you have that relationship with Jesus, you don't know whether or not you're his child, you don't know whether or not your eternity is secure, we want to give you the opportunity to do so. You don't have to walk out of this room the way that you came in. That salvation, the way that the Bible lays it out, is very simple. Man get involved sometimes and complicated. But in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus, that God has raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. It goes on to say that it's with the heart man believes and with the mouth man confesses unto salvation. And so that is the thing that's needed in order for him to be your daddy, is to come into relationship with him. So if you want to do that, whether it's the first time, whether you feel like you've departed the faith, you've done, you've prayed the sinner's prayer before, but you want to be reconnected with God. You want to come back into alignment with Him.